This is Angelo. I'm 17 years old and live in Beachview.
I'm Janyla and I'm 12 years old and I live in Pittsburgh.
This is Anna. I'm 17 years old and I live in Murrysville.
This is Rocco. I'm 13 years old and live in Southside. And this is the Kidsburg Podcast.
Thanks for being with us for the Kidsburg Podcast. This show is out of this world, and that is not just a figure of speech. We are inspired from our conversation that you'll hear with an astronaut who's originally from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I am so excited to share this today. I'm Christine Sorensen, and that was Melissa Rayworth. Melissa's the editor of Kidsburg.org with resources on the people, places, and ideas to help you raise kids. And I'm a Kidsburg partner and also anchor at KDKA-TV.
And I'm Yulene Chang, director of Kidsburg. And we're all also users of Kidsburg since we're parents as well, who get so much great information from the site. Today's Kidsburg podcast takes you out to the stars and beyond.
In today's episode, we not only have our inspiring interview with astronaut Mike Fink, we also take you to a Pittsburgh gem in Aspinwall along the Allegheny River. And we ask kids about job shadowing in our segment, Tea with Teens.
Let's begin with our Pittsburgh gem, Allegheny River Trail Park, what used to be called Aspinwall Riverfront Park. Kidsburg has a great guide to playgrounds in our area that your kids will love, ones that really stand out. And while this one always makes the list, it's a lot more than a playground. And Yuling, I know you spent a lot of time there with your family.
You are so right. To say playground doesn't quite describe it. It is a bronze sculpture, 30 feet by 30 feet and 24 feet high. And it's of a figure, and the legs are actually the slides. And so my kids and I love to go there, and my husband, and we will get up on those slides and have little friendly competitions to see who can slide down those the fastest. It's so much fun. It's beautiful, and there are trees around this beautiful sculpture, so you're shaded, which is so important in the summertime. But beyond that, they also have a fishing dock, a marina, native gardens where you can see all these beautiful flowers, walking trails, a bike loop, a dog park. You can rent kayaks and paddle boards. You can head over to Farmer Times Baker and get food. They also have food trucks. And they have an amphitheater, and they do weekly free concerts. I mean, talk about a place where you can go and do something with everyone.
And being able to enjoy all that with the river right there, with this sort of water view. I think there are a lot of beautiful parks and playgrounds in the Pittsburgh region, but it's rare that you've also got that view of the water while you're enjoying everything.
And they are expanding, like you said, Christine. They're eventually going to have a 1.5-mile trail that takes you to Sharpsburg.
You can read more about Allegheny River Trail Park in Aspinwall at kidsburg.org/podcast. We have a link to the stories we've written and a link to the park's website.
Pittsburgh is Kidsburg. You're listening to the Kidsburg Podcast.
Now, we all want our kids to shoot for the stars, and our next guest did that and beyond. He lived among the stars. Here's our inspiring talk with astronaut Mike Fink.
We are so excited to talk with astronaut Mike Fink, who grew up in Emsworth in the Pittsburgh area, but space might be his second home. He has logged more than a year in orbit, more than all but one other American. Mike, thank you so much for being with us.
I am excited to be here, and it's always really cool to get a chance to talk to your friends from your hometown because we have so much in common. So I'm happy to be here today and share my experience. It's pretty fun.
Do you get back to the Pittsburgh area much?
Well, my parents still live in Emsworth, and I have a brother who lives in the South Hills. And my kids, they all love coming to Pittsburgh. We love going to Kennywood. We love coming up in the summertime. So yeah, we get back as often as we can. It's a special place on planet Earth.
It is a special place on planet Earth. We agree. Well, you have been on 9 spacewalks. What is it like to be in space outside the space station?
When I first got to NASA, they said, hey, the only people that can do spacewalks are really tall people with really long arms. And if you ever see me, you could see I'm the opposite of that. But with some persistence and some luck, I had a chance to go out on a spacewalk, not just one, but 9 spacewalks. And I got to do it in 2 different spacesuits, the American spacesuit called the Extravehicular Mobility Unit, or EMU, and also the Russian spacesuit called Orlan. And it's just amazing when you go outside, it's just you and the rest of the universe. And the only thing between you and all of the stars is the glass faceplate you have over you, because you know you have to keep in the air, right? but it is absolutely amazing to go on a spacewalk. It's a lot of work. They expect us to do a lot of work out there, but it's a real joy, and I'm lucky because not every astronaut does get a chance to go outside, and I've been out 9 times, and maybe if I apply myself, maybe I'll get to go again.
Mike, that is incredible. I wondered, I had heard that you started flying model rockets when you were 10 years old. What was it in your childhood that inspired you to do this work? And how did that lead to you being an astronaut today?
Yeah, when I was young, I was watching people walk on the moon. And I said, wow, that is really cool. When I say young, I was like 2 or 3 years old. I was watching the first and so far only moon missions. And my parents said, sure, go ahead. And Pittsburgh, being a special place, has all these different opportunities. And so I actually took a Port Authority bus to the Buell Planetarium, and I went to a summer camp. And I know the parents out there send their kids to summer camps too. And the summer camp we did, we built little airplanes and model rockets. And I still remember, and I actually am so fortunate, somebody took a picture of me launching my first model rocket, and it was a model rocket of a Soviet-Russian rocket. And it turns out the first rockets I flew in were Russian rockets. So what a coincidence.
That's amazing, especially as a parent, to know that something like a wonderful summer camp like these we have here in Pittsburgh can make such a difference. So tell us where you went to school, starting here in the Pittsburgh area, and how your education and teachers really made a difference.
That is such a great question, because anybody who is successful, they really have a lot of people to thank along the way. Of course, you know, their parents and their teachers. And my teachers along the way really wanted me to expand and to learn as much as I could. I was one of those kids that read a lot. Once the personal computers started to come out, I liked computers too. In fact, I had a paper route. I delivered the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette in the mornings, and I saved up my money and my Christmas tips, and I bought a TRS-80 computer way back in the beginning of things. By having the chance to explore things and to work with things, it just really made me a good student. I tried very hard, and in grade school, I went to Sacred Heart School, which was in Emsworth, and it since has disbanded, but the teachers there said, this guy needs something to keep him busy. So I actually went to Swickley Academy on a scholarship. From there, I was able to get into the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, and I studied, go figure, airplanes and rockets and planetary science. But I couldn't afford it. I had 8 brothers and sisters, so the Air Force gave me a ROTC, Reserve Officer Training Corps, a scholarship that paid for the tuition and the books. And the cool thing about it was after I graduated, they gave me a job of flying airplanes. I got paid to go fly airplanes. That was really fun. I liked college so much, I went to an extra year to go to what they call graduate school. So I went to Stanford, but it was a really great school to study airplanes and rockets. And then my Air Force career took me into NASA. And by the time I was 30 years old, I was an astronaut.
You know, we wondered, Mike, hearing all of that, all of these experiences that you had, it takes a lot of effort and a lot of years to become an astronaut. How did you stick with it when things were challenging? And would you have any advice for kids who have a goal that's going to take a lot of effort and a lot of persistence?
In achieving one's dreams, in other words, if you want your dream to come true, I think sometimes you see on TV that it magically happens. There's no fairy godmother, and you don't always have a good day, and sometimes you have things that get in your way. I did not do well in some classes at school, so no matter how hard I tried. So sometimes things don't work, but if it's your true dream, you got to keep going for it. And having patience and persistence, you kind of grind it out like the Pittsburgh Steelers do sometimes, right? You don't always win every time, but you keep going, and you'll find that along the way, you're having a lot of fun, and maybe, just maybe, at the end, your dream does come true. And I knew that along the way, if I never became an astronaut, I knew that in my heart, I gave it my best shot, and I was really enjoying what I was doing. So I was a winner no matter what.
Wow, that's amazing. So I read that you speak or conversant in Japanese and Russian, and the Russian especially really helped you out. You're quoted as saying, the more you know, the more opportunity you have. So tell us how that knowing Russian really impacted your opportunities.
There is a secret superpower that everybody has, but not everybody uses all the time, and that is to try to think ahead. and to look at what is needed, what do you need to have for your dream job. And so when I was in college, I said, well, what do I want to do? And I said, well, I like airplanes and rockets, but I really want to fly in space. They said you have to know a different language. So I said, all right, what are the countries that have space programs? And Soviet Union, now Russia, they had a space program. Of course, we were never going to work with those guys, but I still studied Russian. And it turns out I didn't do very well in Russian class in college, but right near the end of college, Soviet Union started to change, and we had an exchange program. And when we went over to Soviet Union over the summer of 1989, we started talking about airplanes and rockets, all my favorite things. So all of a sudden, I could speak really well. And having that ability to get along with other people in different cultures and different languages, and being able to communicate and talk with them, especially about the cool things that you like talking about, then that's a really cool thing to have. And it gave me the opportunity, because when I applied to be an astronaut in 1996, they asked during my interview, hey, can you speak Russian? We need people to help us build this thing called International Space Station. And I answered, duh, which is Russian for yes.
So, Mike, you mentioned that your scholarship, you were part of ROTC and you're a retired colonel in the Air Force. How did the military help you become an astronaut?
In the astronaut corps at NASA, we have some military astronauts and we have people that didn't go through the military, and we all bring different skills to the table. One of my friends was a researcher in Antarctica. Another of my friends spent time underwater in the ocean and studying all the marine life that lives there. But for me, I liked airplanes and rockets, and the Air Force gave me the skills of being able to work with other people, learning how to design and test and build new things, which is another skill set that they needed for the International Space Station, and then afterwards for all of the new spacecraft that we're building today, such as SpaceX's Crew Dragon or the Boeing Starliner or Orion, which is part of the Artemis program going to the moon. And because I had the skill set that the Air Force gave me the opportunity not just to learn at test pilot school, but also to practice and testing new airplanes, it was able to help the space program, and that's one of the reasons why they hired me. But NASA's looking for astronauts that are really good at what they do, and they enjoy what they do, and can communicate and work well with others.
And Mike, you said you're a parent too, so from your experience as both a parent and as an astronaut, what advice do you have for parents in guiding and supporting our kids in following their dreams?
When I was a kid, I don't think I appreciated my parents as much, but then once I started having kids of my own, I really saw some of the wisdom that my parents had. And one thing that I really appreciated that my parents did for all of their kids was to allow us to explore things and to encourage us. Computers just started coming out, these personal computers, and my parents encouraged me to get one. You know, I earned it myself, and then I connected it to our TV screen, and I learned how to program by myself. And that was because that was interesting to me. And every kid is interested in different things. And when we're younger, we explore all these different things. You know, I thought maybe I could be an artist. It really wasn't fun for me. And I really wasn't super good at it. But, you know, programming computers, all of a sudden, you know, that was fun for me. And for my sisters and brothers, they thought it was silly unless I made them a game. So finding out and experimenting with all the different kinds of things that are out there and encouraging kids to go off and find things that they like to do, and sometimes a good word in there just at the right time, you know, oh, wow, that's really cool. And when my dad said that, then obviously it was the coolest thing in the world, even though, you know, he may not have thought it was as cool or that my program wasn't the best one in the universe, but that encouragement along the way. And no one ever said to me, even though the odds were really against me to become an astronaut, only 600 people have ever flown in space, my goodness, right? But it was because nobody ever said, oh, no, you can't do that. They always said, hey, go for it, be your best. And along the way, you're going to find out lots of things about yourself.
Wow, that makes so much sense. And I think sometimes it is hard when the dreams that we have are something that everybody around us isn't already doing. It's not something that, like you said, the odds were against you, the likelihood that you were going to end up doing spacewalks when you were, you know, at that Carnegie Science Center summer camp, it was pretty unlikely. And yet
you had people around you to encourage you to follow those dreams. For kids who are listening to this podcast, what would you say to them if they have a dream that is really big and maybe occasionally they hear from another kid like, oh, come on, like, what are the odds you're going to be an astronaut or a baseball player or whatever it is you dream about doing? What would you say to those kids who have a dream that's as exciting as the one that you followed?
When our friends and our colleagues at school or maybe some well-meaning adult tries to say something to you and is like, hey, your dream will never come true, or good luck with that, or, you know, you better have a backup plan. Most people have these good intentions. Accept the intention, but don't let it slow you down. Don't sell yourself short. Having big dreams is what makes our country very special, that we can grow up to be doctors or billionaires or astronauts or sports players or the best mom or dad that we can be. All of those dreams are equally valid, and not everybody has the same dream. And sometimes people are jealous, but don't worry about it. Never give up. Keep going with your dream and enjoy the ride along the way where life takes you. The world's going to keep changing. Just because it is a certain way now doesn't mean it will be that way in the future. And try to be helpful to other people and take help when people give it to you. Again, I couldn't have gotten where I did without, you know, some adults and teachers and professors along the way offering me encouragement. So be that kind of person to give encouragement and take encouragement.
Well, Mike, you've inspired me, and I know you've inspired other parents listening, and I'm sure the kids listening as well. What an honor to talk with you. Thank you so much for being part of this.
It's a real honor to get a chance to share my adventure, and I can't wait to hear of the adventures of all the kids out there and their parents too, for your voyages and explorations along the way. Be good people and study hard.
It is fascinating hearing him describe his life. I cannot imagine living on the space station. As a parent, and I think also maybe for some of the kids who are listening, it's interesting to hear how, you know, Mike was never afraid to dream big, and he was all about having this big vision, but he was also about doing the hard work that has to get you there, and it's sort of the day-to-day of putting in that effort is what makes the big things happen.
Yeah, it's not getting discouraged, like he said, you know, just keep going for it. I was lucky enough to actually talk to him when he was in space.
Oh my gosh.
From KDKA, which is incredible to think that's even possible. But man, what a wonderful guy, just so generous, such a great person, and so cool. Of course, he's from Pittsburgh, right?
And you can tell he just loves what he does and loves talking about it and loves talking to kids and inspiring kids.
Yep, and his hometown. Now, Kidsburg highlights lots of resources where kids can learn more about STEM and STEM careers, so be sure to sign up for our weekly e-newsletters so you are the first to know. That's at kidsburg.org.
You're listening to the Kidsburg Podcast. Pittsburgh is Kidsburg.
As we talked about with Mike, making a dream career like an astronaut come true is possible, but it can start with learning about what it takes to get there. And one of the best ways to do that is by job shadowing. So we wanted to know from teenagers, what kind of jobs would you like to job shadow? The students with SLB Radio Youth Media Center asked the kids they know.
I would like the shadow librarian. I just find that libraries are really nice places. They have like really good literature and art. I just find it really nice.
I really want to see more people trying to do like emotional jobs, so like psychology or something. I feel like that's really important. I feel like we don't have enough people who care about teenage health.
I love acting or performing arts in general, so probably more jobs to like help around how to work the stages and different techniques, but even maybe find a way to get paid for it at the same time, so it's like a win-win.
Like, my dad does IT, and that's what I wanted to do when I get older. I get to see it every day now because he works from home almost every day, so it's just a lot easier to see.
I like sea creatures. Like, I think they're really interesting. Whales, dolphins, maybe even sharks sometimes. I think it would be really interesting to help them. I went to the zoo before and they had like a nurse section and they were helping one of the starfish and I thought it was really interesting.
There was so much to take in from today's Kidsburg podcast, and I hope people will go to kidsburg.org to continue to learn more, because this is just the tip of the iceberg of what we offer on the site.
We have 6 more episodes that will launch this fall, and if you miss any of these 6 episodes we release this spring, be sure to check them out, because each one features really cool people, places, and answers from the teenagers.
And thank you for being part of this Kidsburg podcast. And let us know on the Kidsburg Facebook page what you think of it and if you have any suggestions. Join us next time.